listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters. Frequent guest on this show here on ESPN 97.5 is U.S. Women's National Team head coach Jill Ellis. She joins us now. Jill, thank you as always for coming on the program.
My pleasure, Glenn. Great to be back.
All right, so we got one game to go. And it's down to Rio. It's down to the Olympics. It's game on. It's the big event. The U.S. women always live up to it. Kind of what's on your mind at this point here ahead of the game against Costa Rica in Kansas City this Friday?
Well, it's really about getting everybody together, you know, because now obviously named the roster. So this will be our first event back together with the roster named. And usually when that happens, it's kind of a galvanizing moment in terms of just players now, it's not just about making the team and a bit cutthroat. It's now about coming together and making sure we execute as a team. So, yeah, in this last game, I mean, we've had several injuries, just nothing serious, but just injuries that have kept players out. So, I'm not sure. It's going to give us a chance to kind of evaluate Morgan Bryan, who's coming back off of her hamstring. Tobin Heath, hopefully we'll get her a little bit of a run out. And, possibly Megan Rapinoe. And then Carly Lloyd, who's been out for almost 6 to 8 weeks. So, it doesn't give us a whole lot of time to kind of blend all those together. But the reality is, you know, we've been a unit for quite a while. The players are very familiar with each other. And hopefully we just sort of get out of here without an injury and start to build our chemistry to head down to Brazil.
Jill Ellis joining us here. And, boy, we're privileged to have her on here so close to heading off to the Olympics in Rio and in Brazil. All right, so Carly obviously got this break due to injury. Yep. Where do you think she's at? And was this in some ways a little bit of a blessing in disguise? Because I know looking at her in Houston when she was here with the Dash, she was a little glassy-eyed with all the media requests and everything.
Yeah, I mean, she's had a crazy year, with all the demands that have been put on her. But I actually do. I mean, we had Carly back in camp for the first time in, I think it was about 10 weeks when we played South Africa. And actually in training, yes, she looks fresh. A lot of the players have been going through the league season, and it's not so much even the games. It's just the vast amount of travel that a lot of these clubs do during that period with their club team. So, she does. I think she's got her legs about her, and now it's just getting her played in. You know, it's one thing just to train and then be isolated, and now it's, can you get played in? And as always, I'll remind the players that we don't want to peak too early, that we really want to try and build as the tournament progresses. But it's tough because it's a very condensed amount of time and quite a lot of games and travel included in that.
Jill, when you say don't peak early, and I understand what you're talking about in these tournaments because, boy, navigating a tournament has got so many variables. But mm-hmm. How do you actually manage a team not to peak too early? I mean, what can you physically do as a coach to sort of control that? Because that's a really tricky thing.
Yeah, I mean, recovery now, especially, in an Olympic format where it's six games in about 17 days, excuse me. I have a world-class staff, so certainly the training room staff, the medical staff, and then, my sports scientists, they're very, very hands-on, in terms of recovery. But, from our perspective, it's trying to see two things. It's making sure we obviously get off to a good start and get points. But it's taking moments where potentially we can get some legs rested or, get some other players some experience. I mean, much like the World Cup, we went through the first three games and then we accrued two yellow card suspensions and we had to have a different starting lineup. Well, those are things that you just have to be able to roll with, and just grow as the tournament progresses in terms of production and the physical output. You don't want to you want to make sure you have legs by the quarterfinal. So a lot of it is, now it's a very scientific type stuff in terms of recovery and tapering and all that. But a big part of it for us as a coach is to very much just keep the cliche going of one game at a time and not looking beyond that.
Jill, what do you have to do differently as a manager in this tournament? Because it is a very different thing. I mean, it's a full-blown Olympics. It's not just a World Cup where it's all about soccer. There's only 12 teams. Yep. Are there things that you think consciously that you have to do differently, not only with the management of players, which you just mentioned, but just in the overall experience, other areas even?
Yes, I mean, certainly, if we, because everything people see in the U.S. is going to be Rio-centric. It's all about Rio. We're actually not going to be in Rio. We're going to be at venues, you know, thousands of miles away. So it's making sure that we, you know, we feel connected to the big picture in terms of the Olympics, but, you know, also knowing that there's a job to do. But in terms of, you know, specific management, I mean, we've already adjusted because we're at a different starting point. You know, our players are in a different place physically and mentally than where we were going into the World Cup, meaning they've just had, you know, half of their professional season, and now all of a sudden we've taken them away from that. Well, so it's a different template, and I've told the players that. So I think, you know, part of my job is to make sure the players understand that, yeah, it would be unrealistic to think that we can play 90 minutes every game with the exact same starting lineup. So it's making sure they're in a good place, knowing that, you know, maybe they don't start a game, but they're still a starter. They're still valued. Our bench, you know, it's not just managing the 90 minutes. It's really, and who starts, it's managing how we finish a game. Who do you want coming in late in a game? So it's creating that value in, you know, that everybody matters. Everybody's important. It will take everybody. So a lot more, I think, physical, mental, demands adjustments than last year, just because of where we are in a starting point.
Jill, is there at some point you just say, okay, we're prepared, and there, that's enough. I mean, I don't need to keep going over this in my mind. Is there a point where you're sort of at peace? Is it on the plane to Brazil? Is it once you get to the hotel that you just feel like, outside of the specifics for individual games against New Zealand, France, and Colombia, that you're at peace with the preparation, the 18, and all of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, last time we were together, I think once you select that roster, that's when you just go, okay, you know, this is our personnel, these are the players we've selected. And then you're absolutely right. It's now making sure it's not adding more to their plate. It's making sure that they're in a good place. It's having them understand that, you know, all the games we've played this year against top quality teams, all those things will pay off down the line. So yeah, it's, you know, part of being a coach is managing the psychological piece. And for me personally, I think we've vetted a lot of our young players. We've got a great blend of veterans and new players. So now it's just making sure that we're all rowing in the same direction and having them be in a good place. And confidence is such a massive part of, you know, you can have all the tactics in the world, you can have all the players in the world, but it, you know, part of it is the confidence of going in there, that you believe that you can accomplish this and that you can do it.
She's Jill Ellis, U.S. Women's National Team coach, picked her final 18 players for the Olympics in Brazil. When you were choosing that roster, I'm sure it's very different than picking a World Cup roster with only 18 players as opposed to 23. I look at a Crystal Dunn that's flexible, that can play a variety of roles, and I'm sure you can define differing roles for her, and we've seen that. Were those types of players important to take that can play differing roles in the case of injury or fatigue or other challenges known or unknown that come up in a tournament?
Very much so. And again, I think that's part of a coach's, you know, preparation is, you know, if you play with three forwards, you have to make sure that, you know, that your players can, because again, it's dealing with curveballs, it's dealing with fatigue, it's dealing with potential injuries. You have to make sure that, you know, if Crystal's played every single minute of every game we prepared for on the right, and now we go down there and suddenly we need her to play, you know, as a center forward, we've checked that box. We've made sure that, you know, she's more than comfortable and capable. I really think our attacking group is very interchangeable. They're, you know, and that's what we ask of them, actually. It's not to be locked in. When we get into the final third, it's really to have that creativity. So having made sure that if suddenly she's playing on the left side, she's played with Megan Klingenberg. If she's played on the right side, she's played with O'Hara. We've done a lot of that. So, yes, because, I mean, the shortened roster and just the time, you know, in between games is much less than the World Cup. All of that makes you have to be more prepared for injury, fatigue, you know, curveballs, so to speak.
You know what's fascinating with you, in my humble opinion, is how often you've talked about, even this close to the Olympics, how you've got an eye on the future as well, with young players and with getting people experience. And you've even said, you know, you're trying to get the Mallory Pughes of the world, who we know with an 18-person roster is going to play in this tournament. But that's been fascinating to me, because a lot of managers would be solely focused on this event and making that very clear. But you also are looking beyond the Olympics in Brazil.
Yes, I mean, you have to. I think the, you know, I think, you know, reflecting back and even going into the World Cup, it was 16 years. And you kind of scratch your head. And you're like, okay, why? And, you know, I like to turn over every stone. And, you know, no team has won a World Cup and then followed up with an Olympics. And I've looked at, like, why? Is it roster turnover? Is it complacency? Like, you know, why has this not happened? So I think, you know, going into that last World Cup, it's like, why had it been so long? You know, we were sort of an aging team in terms of we were probably one of the oldest teams there. And if you want to continue to compete every 4 years for a World Cup, you can't wait, you know, two cycles to now suddenly start vetting players. So I think that that's just, you know, it's prudent. I think it's no different, you know, like with a college coach. Every year they bring in freshmen because they have to replenish and reload. And it does bring a different dynamic. And I think you certainly don't bring players in if you don't think they're capable. That's obviously the underlying, you know, premise that they have to be good enough to be here. But then I think if we want to continue to compete for World Cups, we've got to use the Olympics as a bit of a stepping stone. Not to say we're overlooking it. We want to go win the Olympics, but we have to make sure that we're using that event to get a Mallory Pugh, a major world tournament before our next World Cup.
She's Jill Ellis, U.S. Women's National Team coach. The excitement will begin August 3rd when they kick it off against New Zealand. All right, the three teams in your group are very interesting, very different in their own ways. Can you just give us a thumbnail on New Zealand, France, and Colombia? Just a general thumbnail on all three teams.
Yeah, I mean, New Zealand is overall a fairly athletic team. They play a pretty aggressive style in terms of they've always been a very hardworking team, like to press, like to pressure you. Great work ethic and mentality. Now, since the last Olympics, I think they have a new coach, but you know they've still got those tendencies in them. And with France, you're going to get a team that's going to play you straight up. You know, they're not going to sit low. It's going to be a very tactical game, and they're very, very talented. And then with Colombia, I sort of anticipate a team that will give us very, very little space in behind them and make it very, very hard to play through them, and probably sit low and look to counter. So, three rather different styles, and you know, on any given day, we have to be prepared to deal with anything. And I think coming out of this group, my hope is that playing three very different teams will prepare us for hopefully a quarterfinal against, you know, a style that we've had some familiarity with potentially in group play.
Out of those three teams, Jill, is it France that you think might try to pressure you a little higher up the field?
I think they will. I mean, they're very tactical. They have, you know, a very athletic team in the back so that they can afford to sit a little higher. Their back line can afford to have some space in behind because they can recover well. So if they can sit higher, then they obviously look to press. They will. They pick and choose their moments. They're a very, very organized, very talented team with really dynamic personalities. And I think when you go into a world event, you can be a very, very organized, good team, but you have to have some game changers, and France does. They have some really special, unique players.
Last question, we'll let you go, and we really thank you for this. This is wonderful ahead of the Olympics. Tell us about this mystery man assistant coach, Tony Gustafsson, because you talk so much about your staff, and you seem very comfortable in giving responsibility to your staff. So tell us a little bit about Tony and what he brings to your staff.
Yeah, Tony and I worked together with Pia, and we used to spend many nights, you know, sitting up late talking the game. And so we had really good chemistry, and he also interviewed for the job. And we kind of jokingly said, you know, if we get this job, we'd love to continue, either one of us, we'd love to continue to work together. And that happened, and I pushed very hard to get Tony because he's very, very, you know, great with the team. And when I took the job, I remember talking to April Heinrichs, you know, she'd been a coach and she'd done it. And she said, you know, nowadays everything is so specific and so detailed. It's almost like football. You need to have people that can really drill down and specialize in certain pieces. And then you have oversight over the whole thing. So, you know, when I came on board, I focused primarily with the back line and the goalkeepers and defending because I felt that was where we at the time needed, you know, a lot more attention to that in terms of just our team defending individual. And so what I did was I allowed Steve to focus on the midfielders and Tony to focus on the forwards. And for sure, we do everything in concert in terms of a lot of conversations about what we want and need. But it allows those players, you know, if they need to sit and watch film, you know, they can sit and watch with their line coach or they can sit and watch with me. And So I just learned, you know, when I was a college coach, I was really trying to do everything. I was young and probably wanted a hand in everything. I think now, you know, I realize that part of being a good manager is making sure you tap into the strengths of your people around you. You know, our medical staff, our sports scientists, everybody is specialized and world-class in what they do. So giving them the room to, you know, to contribute in a valuable way, I think makes for a great team. So, you know, I think it's Tony's fantastic. Steve, Graham Abel, I hired him as a goalkeeper coach. I think all my technical coaches would say that they feel supported. I mean, I would never want to go work for a coach as an assistant who just says, hey, go put cones out. These coaches are bright and, you know, they want to feel a part of the process. So I very much include them.
Jill, tremendous interview. Thank you very much. Best of luck on Friday against Costa Rica as you continue to tune it up for the Olympics in Brazil. And as always,
thank
we do
you.
Appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot, Glenn. Appreciate it. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Jill Ellis, U.S. Women's National Team coach. What an interview with her. We'll take a quick break here. We'll call it a 7-Up break. Actually, you know what? We'll give a little shout-out here to Bud Light. I'm speaking on behalf of my favorite political party, the Bud Light Party. People say the country's divided. We disagree on everything. It's not true. We agree on a lot. Like puppy videos. Everybody loves puppy videos. Three-day weekends, free parking, queso, margaritas, Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. And you know what else everybody loves? Beer. Nothing brings America together like Bud Light. Raise one right now. Join the Bud Light Party and myself every Tuesday from 7 to 9 Central. 7-Up break. We're back with more.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. A quick word here for the Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit. John Daspit and his firm, they're personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-588-HURT, H-U-R-T. Whether your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler, it doesn't matter. The Daspit Law Firm will assure you that they're going to treat your case as if it's their own. It's DaspitLaw.com. And this Daspit Law Firm will work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. They will fight for your right for compensation. Again, Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-588-HURT. And our next interview, well, we visit with Wade Barrett each and every week. This is brought to you by HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you get your tickets for the Dynamo. You get your tickets for the Dash there. Again, the Dynamo this week in action tomorrow night. This is one to get out to. Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. It's against rivals FC Dallas. It's a quarterfinal, would put the Dynamo in the semifinals if they get past that squad from up I-45. So it's the Dynamo, FC Dallas, tomorrow night at BBVA Compass Stadium. Then Saturday in comes Carl Robinson and the Vancouver Whitecaps in league play. So two great choices there, HoustonDynamo.com. He's Wade Barrett. He joins us now. Wade, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Hi, Glenn. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, great talking to you too. All right, so let's just get the manager's take here, a platform for you just to talk about what's ahead tomorrow in the Open Cup, the importance of this to you and the Dynamo, and being this close to getting into the final is something that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, you know, these additional tournaments that you get to play, I think are always really exciting. And, you know, we've done well to get to this point. And, you know, this one just, it's a really exciting game, Glenn. So, number one, it's a quarterfinal in the tournament. And like I said, these additional games that you get into over the course of the season, I think are always great opportunities for the team. It's against Dallas, who, you know, in league play is doing really well and is, you know, top of the table. And it's against a rival. So there are, you know, multiple reasons for the team to be, you know, firing on all cylinders and just excited for the game.
Wade, in the past, people have said, MLS, you know, sometimes they take the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup serious. Sometimes they don't. One of the complaints in the past year was that fans felt, and I'm not saying this is what actually happened, but the fans felt that the Dynamo didn't take this seriously. I know you're taking it seriously.
Yeah, I mean, Glenn, you have to take it seriously. Some of those teams that say they don't, you know, I don't know if that's a little bit of a cop-out or, I don't know what the reason is, but it's a tournament where, you know, for most MLS clubs, you win five games and you lift that trophy. And, it's difficult to navigate through those early rounds. Of course, most of the MLS teams, all the MLS teams, I think it's fair to say have a higher quality roster throughout, you know, number one through whatever on the roster than some of the teams that play below. But I tell you what, there's a lot of good players out there, a lot of good teams that play with energy. They come with, the right attitude and enthusiasm, and they can knock MLS teams out. So you have to come with the right attitude, the right energy. You have to approach it in the correct way. And I think we did a good job in the first two games. You know, first game against San Antonio, the guys took care of business. And that's a game that if you let it carry on without getting on top of it, can turn and go ugly. And then, playing Kansas City. We'll play Kansas City. They were the defending Open Cup champs. So it was important that we get past those couple games, and it set up a great game against Dallas.
Wade, I remember, back in my day playing professionally in the U.S., that when you did play teams that were, from lower divisions or amateur teams, even in training games, those sometimes are very difficult games because guys are incredibly motivated. They're out there to prove themselves. And that's why I go back to that San Antonio game, which you mentioned. Those can be tricky games. And, of course, some MLS teams get knocked off because of the tricky nature of those games.
Yeah, and Glenn, I mean, for me, it's all about coming out with the correct attitude. If you think the game's going to be easier, if you think the other team's going to come out and just roll over because you are supposed to be a better club, a better team, that just doesn't happen. You're right. It's a huge game for those clubs. And, if you approach it in a casual way, then you will put yourself in trouble. It was an important time for the club when we had just kind of gone through the transition, and it was the first home game that we played. So it was a big deal to me as a coach, and it was a big deal to the club. We, like I said, we just come through a change. It's important that when we're playing at home, we come out and we show the right attitude and the right energy. And that's something that I've talked about just for this club moving forward. I want the fans to be inspired by the effort that the team puts out on the field. I want them to be inspired by the discipline and the work that they put in. I was listening to something recently. You have to bear with me on the running commentary, but I was listening to something about Steve Prefontaine, as everybody calls him,
yeah.
And that he inspired people by effort alone, because every single time he raced, he got through it on effort. He ran at the front. He ran until he had absolutely nothing left, and it inspired people to see it. And you know what? He burned out on a couple races, going out too fast and not being able to sustain it, but they knew when they went to watch him that they were going to see all-out effort. And that's what I want from our group. I want every single time we step on the field, whether the game turns in our favor or not, that the fans still see something that they will be proud of.
Wade, do you think the fans, though, I mean, even when Owen was here, do you think the fans, one of their beefs, per se, would be pointing to the fact that they didn't think the Dynamo were giving effort?
I don't know. I don't know if that was the case or not. What I do want to make sure we have happen, though, Glenn, is that we compete from minute one to minute 90. And I never want to let a game get away from us. And I think you've seen so far, we've done a really good job of that. I know we've had a couple of results that haven't gone our way, but they were one goal games and we were in it right until the very end. And I just look back to a little bit what defined some of the success that the Dynamo had in early years. And we rarely lost two games in a row, and we rarely lost a game by more than one goal. And it just shows to me the fight and the spirit and the attitude that you might get by us, but it's never going to be an easy night, and we're always going to be there until the last whistle blows.
Wade, are we unfair, though, to compare everything to back then? Because that was a special bunch of guys. I mean, that was, as I always like to say, that was a group of men, and that's not any slight on anybody who's here right now. But you even said we have to be careful in comparing things to back then. It was a different league. It was a 12-team league. You have said that you think the quality of the league in some cases has improved. Do we have to be careful of that? And the Dynamo fans have to be careful to measure what is here now with what was once here in 6 and 7.
Correct. And like I said, I don't want to try to go back to anything. It is on us to be better in other areas. It's on us to be a little bit more disciplined against the ball. It's on us to be a little bit better going forward and to create, more opportunities, more attacking, have more attacking options. But I do want the basis of what we do moving forward to always have those other parts that are just as a definition. Every time you see the Dynamo step out on the field, you know you're going to get this, this, and this.
Wade Barrett joining us, Houston Dynamo manager. It is HoustonDynamo.com. Taking on FC Dallas tomorrow. Remember, the Dynamo smoked FC Dallas 5-0 at the beginning of the year. Then that crazy water-filled game, the Dynamo, a good result there and a draw up in Frisco. And our rivals come in again. It's one that you don't want to miss this year. It's a Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, the Dynamo with an opportunity to advance to the semifinals, which would be the farthest the team has ever gone, I believe, in league in team history, that is. All right, so you made some changes in the last game up front. You moved Giles Barnes there. You had alluded to potentially that happening. In league play, is that something you're going to hope to remain with at this point? And are things crystallizing in that area a little bit more for you since we last talked?
I don't know about crystallizing, Glenn. I still, you know, I think that's a good option for us. I think Giles has the ability to stretch the field up there. And that was something that I thought was important against L.A. They get their outside backs real involved in the attack, and I thought that would be the forward against the two center backs. And, you know, when we looked for that, Giles was almost the first one to it every single time. So it was a good way for us to get up the field. And, you know, Giles has a lot of quality just with his pace and his power. So, yeah, it's definitely something that I'm going to consider moving forward. But Giles also has the ability to play out wide. And, you know, I'm considering all options as it comes in, you know, the next couple of weeks and what we're doing moving forward. You know, Mauro Minotas has done really well in the minutes that he's got, and he deserves time up there. You know, Will Pruin still does a lot of good things for the group. So I'm trying to consider all those things. And for every game, I'm trying to evaluate what I think is the best move going forward. Now for this week, it's a little bit different because we had a game in LA on Friday. Now we have this game Wednesday and then a quick turnaround for the game on Saturday. So there does have to be, you know, we do have a small roster, but you have to make sure you have fresh group for all three of those games. And to me, Glenn, they're all important. You know, this one obviously on Wednesday is big. It's a quarterfinal, but you know, the Vancouver game at home is a huge one as well. We need to pick up points at home in league play.
He's Wade Barrett, Dynamo manager here ahead of the Dynamo FC Dallas tomorrow. In the U.S. Open Cup, Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, that is. It's a tournament that's over 100 years old and started with amateur teams, very ethnic-based teams in cities around the United States with the names like the New York Greek Americans, Maccabee in Los Angeles, and now the Major League Soccer teams and others at the professional level involved. So this is a big one, and you mentioned it is state rivals. I put something up about this being one of the biggest games of the year to get some feedback from the fans. Take a listen to these two responses, Wade, and tell me what you think. Here's a guy named Scott who says, Scott Gibbs says, it's a knockout round against state rivals. How could it not be the most important game of this year? The result of this game will no doubt be the catalyst of changes or not of this team from top to bottom. Not sure we can agree with that, but there is real passion around this. It's an important game. I want another piece of hardware. Need to get back to championship way, says Christian Castillo. So there is a lot of response around this, and I do think there's a large percentage of the fan base that realizes that this tournament has history. It could lead to a $250,000 payday and entry into the CONCACAF Champions League.
Yeah, well, I mean, Glenn, a comment about the silverware and the trophy case or whatever, I mean, that's absolutely true. We do have them there, Glenn, and I don't want anybody to forget that we do have that championship pedigree, but there's a lot of dust on those. We need to make sure that we open it up and add something new, and this is a quarterfinal, so we're close. And it'll be a big task. It's a task to get past Dallas. Like I said, they're doing really well this year. They have a deep team. And, you know, I'm pretty certain that when we get through this, it'll be, you know, Seattle or VLA, which is another tough match. But it's right there for us. So I think the players are excited about it. You know, they know what's at stake. They know what a big game it is. And, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready for the whistle to blow.
Wade, talk to me about the context of the big picture of the season, because I think the fans are a little cloudy and nebulous about, you know, what the end game here is now for the Dynamo. Is it to focus on the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup? Is there still real belief, and I need to ask this question, that you guys are going to get into the playoffs? Is there a belief that we're now beginning to get into a rebuild? And then touch on the transfer window and potential there. We know a couple of players have moved on, but let's first start with, you know, what is the end game? Is it really to make the MLS playoffs? Should it be that? Should it be the focus on the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup? What is it from you?
Well, Glenn, you'll see we're putting out a very strong team tomorrow night. So in the short term, yes, this is the chance to advance in a tournament. We're putting out a really strong group. You know, we have a thin roster right now, so it is, we're pulling from a small group of players. But I'm confident in the group we're putting out tomorrow night. And it's a legitimate question to ask about whether we really have a chance for the playoffs or not. I mean, Glenn, the reality is that it will be difficult at this point. We're a bunch of points off the pace right now. And, you know, the time is kind of is getting limited in what we can do. I think the next couple weeks will be telling. And, you know, if we pick up a couple wins in the next couple games, I tell you what, then we're kind of right back in the conversation. And, you know, I know we're not going to be challenging for the supporter shield after a few games, but, you know, the conversation might be a little bit different if we get a couple wins in the next home game. So that's the goal right now. Now, if that doesn't happen, then, you know, it does look a little bit more distant. So, but what I want to be real careful of heading into this next part of the season, I do want to try to make improvements if we can make improvements, but I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt the team moving forward on a long-term basis. So that's important to me because I do want the team to get better. I want to try to make improvements. I want to try to get better right now. But if it's a situation that is only going to help us in the short term and it might bind us in the long term, I don't think it's the right move for the club.
And I'll tell you what, that's pretty darn honorable because a lot of people would be thinking strictly and solely about how do I get the head coaching job. And I got to tell you, Wade, that's very impressive. And that's something to be very proud of. It doesn't surprise me coming from you, though, I would say.
Well, Glenn, you're right. It's important to me because, you know, all that stuff is still up in the air. But Glenn, I care for this club as much or more than anybody, and I don't want to do anything that will hurt the club moving into next year. So, yeah, I'm going to do everything I can to try to win every single game that we play. That's just a given. You can expect that from me for every single minute that I'm here with the team. But we have to be smart about how we move forward.
Wade, does Chris Kennedy or Matt, I mean, did they talk to you and say, look, Wade, here's what you need to get the job. We've seen you organize this team. We notice that these players are fighting and playing for you. We see how more compact and organized they are. But, Wade, we need to see this team attack more. We need to see more chances created. Or we need you to get a specific amount of wins before the end of the year. Is there some sort of benchmark that they relay to you? Or is it really just, you know, you're going about your business on a daily basis?
I'm in close conversation with those guys. We talk every week. And we haven't had those specific conversations. I mean, Glenn, what I talked about from the beginning, and I still hold to this, that I know the reality that you'll get judged on wins and losses. I know that that's out there. But I also want to be judged on, are we putting this club in a position to succeed? And I really do feel like that we have raised our standard of performance. I've talked about that before. And I think the way we're operating now, just kind of the level of cooperation, the level of the way we are operating as a staff, I think is putting us in a position to be successful moving forward. It's a strange reference, but looking back at Bill Walsh when he took over the San Francisco 49ers, he established that, and he established that standard of performance over the course of his first season in charge, where they only won two games, Glenn. And it was one of the hardest years that he had to get through, but he knew that he was building a platform that the team would be successful on moving forward. And they had confidence in that. Now, those are sometimes difficult things to measure when the results aren't going your way. So I'm trying to do everything I can to make sure that I'm putting the team in a position to be successful. And you talk about, you know, yeah, I know that I've worked a lot on the defensive shape and on the discipline over this last block of time. And I think we could probably work on that for the rest of the year and still have things we needed to cover. But I do feel like we've gotten the club to a pretty good place. And I think that basis has been established. And so now, over the next number of weeks, it won't happen in a week, it won't happen in 2 weeks, but I think over this next block of time, kind of our next segment will be how we can transition into the attack a little bit better, how we can work on our patterns of play, how we can create more chances, while still maintaining that discipline against the ball, because me, as a coach, Glenn, I'll never get away from that. I think that's always important.
Dynamo manager Wade Barrett with us. I'm sorry,
yeah,
Wade,
no,
I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's good. I probably talk too much anyway.
No. You're a wonderful interview, and we got a tremendous amount of feedback off your interview last week, how candid you are. And I'm going to use a word here. Don't let this throw you here. This is a word that you've heard me mention before. Is this team in a rebuild?
you know, that's a good question, Glenn. Like I said, I do think that there are really good pieces here at the club, and I also think that there is room for improvement. And my goal right now is to try to get the most out of the players that are in the Dynamo shirts now while still trying to improve the club. But again, that can't be something that limits us on a long-term basis. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know if you want to call it a rebuild or not. You know, we've looked at some pieces right now around the league. We've looked at some stuff overseas, looking for players that can come in and help us in the short term, see what the future might be, but that don't limit us moving forward into next year.
Last question. We're going to let you go, Wade. And again, we're going to wish you the best of luck against FC Dallas and then Vancouver on the weekend. It's a great week for the Dynamo, Wednesday, Saturday games. Does this team need a singular player that becomes sort of the personality of the team, that embodies the team? In other words, you know, in Toronto, it's Giovinco maybe, or Michael Bradley. In New York, it's David Villa. Does it need that type of player to help this team platform these pieces that you say that are in place?
I think a player like that always helps, Glenn, so long as they have the right attitude and they have the right energy and they're working for the benefit of the club. But Glenn, those are big players you just named, and they come with a big price tag. And, you know, I think for this club moving forward, I'm really relying on a bigger group of players to help lead us forward. You know, you look at the success that Colorado's had this year, and they come from a little bit different mold. And they've got a bunch of players that are all contributing to the team in different ways. But I don't think it's any one player that's carrying that group forward. It's the collective group. And I feel like for us right now, that's probably the way forward, is everybody collectively working together to try to get the most out of each other and to drive the team forward, rather than, you know, one big ticket player that's going to kind of pull everything together.
Yeah, I'm not doubting what you say, but I see a Jermaine Jones who transformed a good New England team into an MLS Cup team. And mm-hmm. I see Jermaine Jones transforming that team out there with his leadership and embodiment, not to mention a Tim Howard, right, that maybe sewed all that together. You know, the Dylan Powerses and a lot of these other younger guys. You know, that's just kind of the way I see it. And I'm just wondering,
yeah, well,
if
Glenn,
that type of player, if acquired, would that platform the Dynamo to another level?
Yeah, and Glenn, believe me, we're looking for those kinds of players that can come in and make a difference. And they do have to fit in with you know, the kind of player that I see fitting in with the group and being a good leader and working hard on the field and having discipline. And man, if we can find that player, that's great. But if it's not immediately out there, or if we're not totally sure, then we'll wait until the right person comes along.
Wade, listen, as always, we thank you so much. These are such great interviews to do. I actually really, really enjoy these interviews with you, because you are so out there. You're so transparent. And you're telling it from the heart, and we love it, and I think the fans love it, so thank you very much for that.
Good. Well, thanks for your time, Glenn.
Yep. Best of luck tomorrow against FC Dallas, and then Saturday against Vancouver.
Thanks.
All right. He's the Dynamo manager, Wade Barrett. That's HoustonDynamo.com. Dynamo tickets for FC Dallas tomorrow, again, at HoustonDynamo.com. Saturday, it's the Vancouver Whitecaps. We're going to take a quick break here. A quick word here for the Gorgeous Gale. It's an Irish pub with an Irish feel. Gorgeous Gale, place for you. 5555 Morningside Drive. Head over there. Watch all the Dynamo matches there. Stop in for a pint and a bite. It's a good whiskey offering as well. Open field, monitors, outdoor patio, thegorgeousgale.com. And also to our other great Soccer Matters pubs, the Bar Munich down in Richmond. Also, you can head over to the Richmond Arms. Of course, an institution here in Houston. I think the Arsenal fans go there. And then the King's Head Pub as well. We'll take a break. 7-Up break.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back. Glenn Davis speaking as the host of Soccer Matters. And today I'm speaking on behalf of my favorite political party. It's the Bud Light Party. People say the country's divided. We disagree on everything, but it's not true. We agree on a lot, like puppy videos. Everybody loves puppy videos. Three-day weekends, free parking, queso, margaritas, Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo. You know what else everybody loves? Beer. Nothing brings America together like Bud Light, so raise one right now and join the Bud Light Party and myself every Tuesday night. The best in soccer talk, 7 to 9 Central Time, self-proclaimed. And another guy who likes beer joining me right now. He's my partner on Root Sports for all the Dynamo broadcasts, former Dynamo defender, Major League Soccer All-Star. He's Eddie Robinson. He joins us now. Eddie, how are you?
I'm good, Glenn. How about yourself,
buddy? All right, raise your right hand to the Bud Light Party right now. You ready? Repeat after me. Hi.
Glenn.
I'm just messing with you.
All right.
All right. So let's get into it. You and I have had a bit of a break here. We'll be calling the Dynamo Vancouver game on Saturday from BBVA. But let you and I first talk about the FC Dallas game tomorrow night, Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. Is this the biggest Dynamo game of the year to you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Wade Barrett's done a fantastic job with getting the team to defend well, but the attacking prowess hasn't been there. The Dynamo don't start scoring goals. They're not making the playoffs. So their one chance at glory this year and win a trophy is the U.S. Open Cup. So I'm really hoping that he puts, you know, with the exception of injuries, is the first choice 11 out there to start this game.
Now, in the context of trophies and success, based on where the Dynamo sit in the standings, it's going to be a tough ask for the Dynamo to make the playoffs this year. I don't think there's any question about that. It's probably not something anybody wants to say, but I'm going to say it. It's going to be tough to make the playoffs this year. Is there a part of you that says you should focus even more on the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup? Go after that trophy, go after the $250,000 prize money and entry into the CONCACAF Champions League, or and consider the MLS season a part of a rebuild. Would you agree with that, or do you look at that differently?
You know, that's a good question, because if I were Wade Barrett and I was given this interim tag, the first thing that I would ask Chris Kennedy and Matt Jordan would be, does my job depend on us making the playoffs? Does my job depend on us making a certain amount of points? Does my job depend on us winning a trophy? If I win the U.S. Open Cup, do I have a good chance of getting this job? I think that's a lot of it's up to Wade Barrett and what he sees as his best option to win this job full-time and get that interim tag off. If it were me, and I think people know me, I want to win every single game. I'm putting my first 11 out, what I think is my best 11. Of course, there could be injuries, there could be things behind the scenes that we on the outside that aren't training every day, that aren't in the locker room every day, don't know that are going on. But I think this is an opportunity to win a little bit of stronger backing. The community backs Wade. The Dynamo fans, I think they back Wade. They like this. They like Wade being there. But if Wade goes out and puts an 11 on the field and says to the fans, I want to give you guys something this year, and really goes for it, he's going to gain that strength. And if the fans come into the year, regardless of where the Dynamo finishes in the table, the Dynamo can manage to at least make the final of the Open Cup, maybe not win. The fans are going to be in his corner. And the last thing that Chris Kennedy, Matt Jordan, Gabriel Brenner, the Dynamo organization wants is the fans going against them for their pick of head coach. And I think the best thing that Wade Barrett can do for himself right now is make sure that he wins and solidifies, not wins, he's already got it, solidifies the loyalty of his fans. And I think he can do that in this U.S. Open Cup.
Interestingly enough, that's a question I have asked him in the interview here tonight. So, Dynamo fans, you'll have to go back and listen to the interview, because I asked Wade specifically what Eddie just mentioned, and that is, what is the criteria for you getting the job? Has somebody in the front office come to you and said, look, we get that you've organized the team. Now we want to see the team attack more in order for you to get the job. Or is it a certain amount of wins? Or is it the Open Cup trophy? Exactly what you just mentioned, Eddie. Moving forward here, tomorrow night, and of course the roster is thin, and Wade Barrett has made it clear that he's going to put out a strong Dynamo team. He wants to win this thing. And in the past, the fans have been kind of, have we taken the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup seriously enough? Do you think you guys took it seriously enough under Dominic Kinnear? Because sometimes managers prioritize certain things, and that's okay.
Well, it's easy to prioritize the playoffs and MLS Cup when you are a playoff team and an MLS Cup contender every year, which the Dynamo were from 06 to, what was it, 11, 12, 7, mm-hmm. 11, 12. Mm-hmm. It's easy to say, hey, yes, I'd like to win the U.S. Open Cup, but I'd rather win MLS Cup. So if you have a team that can contend to do that, and let's be honest, Dynamo haven't been that for a couple of years, then that's easy to say. And I think you can skate by on that, and the fans will let you get by. But now, when the team's struggling, and you don't go put your best team out in the U.S. Open Cup, I don't think the fans are going to be happy about it. This is the opportunity. This is a cup quarterfinal. Wade Barrett's been on social media. There have been some, not him specifically, but the Dynamo put out interviews with Wade talking about the importance of this game and how badly he wants to win it. And that's going to get the fans going, and that's going to just really solidify their support for him. So, no, in the past, I don't think that we did, but that's not a knock on Dominic Kinnear, because he knew that he had teams that were capable of not just making the playoffs, but contending for a championship every single year. So you want to make sure your best players are healthy for the MLS Cup. I don't think anyone will argue that MLS Cup, winning an MLS Cup, is more important than winning a U.S. Open Cup. But now the situation is different with this team and with the way things are going in the regular season. So I really do think that Wade Barrett is taking it a little more serious than we have in the past, but for a different reason.
Yeah, great answer. I like that. And it does make sense, and at times you do have to prioritize things, and it's no different in other leagues around the world. Eddie Robinson joining us. We'll be calling the Dynamo Vancouver game this Saturday night from BBVA Compass Stadium game. You can catch on Root Sports. We do remind you, HoustonDynamo.com, for your tickets, and for Dash tickets. The Dash were winners last weekend, 3-0 over Portland. All right. It's a complicated situation, though, and here's why. This team was sold at the beginning of the year as a team that was going to have a playmaker and a winger-based system under Owen Coyle. That's been scrapped now. You know, your playmaker is now a guy that's pretty much been coming off the bench in Christian Maidana, did start in Dallas. You have a transfer window that's open. How many decisions do you want to make in that transfer window with a coach that has not, in all fairness here, been hired full-time? He's on an interim basis. So, you know, there's one side of me going, wow, how much movement do you want to take and make in these windows here when it comes to restructuring this team with personnel based on how much of that you're going to do with a coach that may not be your head coach that's striving to win the job? I mean, it's a very complicated situation here to get this ship righted.
Well, you got to think that Matt Jordan and Chris Kennedy are probably not going to give Wade Barrett any say in any moves that are made because, as you said, right now, this is the interim coach. This is not the full-time coach. So if the Dynamo make a move...
But Eddie, let me just stop you there because I don't want this to go on further and I go away from it. But why wouldn't they listen to Wade Barrett? He's been an assistant for 7 years. He's been a captain of MLS Cup teams and winning here. He can assess a soccer player. Come on.
I agree, but, you know, for Wade Barrett, and then if you look at Wade Barrett's situation, I'm sure he would think if he was given a job today and given a 3-year contract, I guarantee you there's probably moves he would make immediately. Now, those moves are either going to pay dividends or they're going to be flops. Right now, he's not in a place where he wants to have a flop. So I think it's better for him to do what he's done, address tactics, address shape, address formation, address individual roles, and try to gain points, try to gain some wins, and earn himself the full-time job. But, as you said, he's not the full-time coach. He's the interim coach. So if the Dynamo make a move, I'm not sure that Wade Barrett's going to have a lot of say in that. And I put myself in the president's position, in the technical director's position. I've got a guy here who I've entrusted to finish out the season, but that's all I've given him. If I see the opportunity to bring in a guy that I think can help us for the next 4 years, I don't know if I'm asking for that from the interim coach. It's like you just said, it's a very complicated situation. And with all of those factors and those variables, I don't see the Dynamo doing anything in this transfer window. I would be quite surprised if they made any kind of big moves.
Yeah, very, very complicated, I think. I think it's more complicated than most know. Last one before I let you go, Eddie. I'm looking forward to, I haven't done a game for a while. It seems like a long time, to be honest with you. So I think we're going to really be excited about calling the Vancouver game and excited about seeing the Dynamo against FC Dallas tomorrow. Does this team need a singular player that can sort of be the face of the team, that embodies the team, a Jermaine Jones type that can come in and pull some of these pieces up to another level and help this team platform?
You know,
I know the history is the team concept and all about the team, and of course it's all about the team, but you can get a singular player that can help platform this group.
Well, you need a personality that can go along with the level of talent that the players on the team will respect. I think the Dynamo have some personalities. I think the Dynamo have some highly talented individuals. I don't think any player fits both those criteria. And, you know, you look at Ricardo Clark, how talented he is. But he's not really a vocal person. He doesn't want to go out and be that leader. He wants to go out every day and be solid and show you what he's about. I think the best thing that happened to the Dynamo was getting DeMarcus Beasley the captain's armband, because that raised his game. And because it raised his game, I think the other players on the team saw that and felt a little bit more responsibility to match his attitude and his effort. I don't think there's any question that since DeMarcus Beasley's had the armband, he's been one of the, if not the best player on the team for the Dynamo. Before that, he had his moments. He made a couple mistakes. It is what it is. He's arguably the most decorated player in the history of U.S. soccer. But now that he's out with his knee surgery, Glenn, I don't know who's going to lead this team. I know Ricardo Clark wore the captain's armband against L.A.
Well, it seems like a never-ending question that you and I have been debating
it really
for a couple of years
it
now.
It really is. It really is. And
I think it needs. I honestly think, Eddie, it needs to be addressed, because it's been a couple of years now, and you do have to find that one player that somebody's going to say really embodies this team. And this is, as you mentioned, not a slight against anybody who's here, but it's that personality and that person that can maybe help you platform. Listen, we're up on a hard break. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to seeing you on Saturday. Will you be there tomorrow night for the FC Dallas game?
I'm trying to talk my children into coming with me. We'll see.
Okay, well, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Maybe we'll meet up there. He's Eddie Robinson, former Dynamo defender. He's the analyst for the Dynamo matches on Root Sports. And as always, we thank Eddie for being on the show. All right, that'll do it tonight for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Just a quick word here for Amigo Energy before we go. Summer's here. It means you not have to just sweat watching your favorite soccer team, but also your energy bill. Amigo Energy has a solution for that. You can sign up for Amigo Energy Basics 24. You'll receive a $50 bill credit exclusively for Soccer Matters listeners. So save some money. If you're moving, call Amigo Energy. If you're up for renewal, call Amigo Energy. Also, Amigo Energy is a Public Utility Commission 5-star rated provider. You'll get great rates, great service. You'll save money with Amigo Energy. www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. Basics 24. Call 888-995-9299. 888-995-9299. Get that $50 offer. Please go to www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. Podcast, podcastarena.com. Also on iTunes, Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook, Soccer Matters. Get over to glendavissoccer.com. We want your opinions, and we'd love your likes as well. For Tyler Scott, I'm Glenn Davis. Until next Tuesday, thank you for listening to the Best in Soccer Talk here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.